Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, Georgia Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on a very interesting Sunday morning. It's a game day Sunday morning, but it's an interesting Sunday morning. We got Roger Federer going on right now, the French Open. You got Tiger Woods getting ready to go out there, not making any noise in Jack's tournament this year, but still, it's a red shirt Sunday. You got everybody and their mother talking about Andy, Ruiz Jr., who set the boxing world on fire last night. And by the way, if you have not seen this fight between him and Joshua, seventh round, just took this dude and... Again, if you're not familiar with the size of Ruiz, it doesn't really hold because you have to see him. And again, Stephen A. Smith got a lot of you-know-what because he called him Butterbean. That was the first person I thought of, too. If you know boxing, the first person you thought of was Butterbean, who was a guy who kind of fought as a joke in some regard, but he was a fighter. And what he did was he brought people to the TV because he looked like the majority of us. And I'm not talking about those of us who are leaving the gym right now or heading to the gym. Not those folks. Those of us who don't go to the gym regularly. Not necessarily, you know, just crazy overweight, although he is. But to see the barrage he hit Joshua with is amazing. It really is. So now this guy has got three of the belts. Yeah. Wilder's got one. He's got three of them. It was a seventh-round TKO. That now, Ruiz and Joshua are going to fight again. I mean, that was part of the deal. But there's all these different little things going on that if so-and-so doesn't win this, and you got Tyson Fury getting ready to fight. Anyway, without trying to dissect what could happen and what might happen and who we want to see, we just have to enjoy what happened last night. And if you've not seen it, somehow find it. Anyway, moving to this 8 o'clock hour, we have got ourselves a special guest. And he's a guy who's been here before, and we are going to talk NFL. We are going to talk training camp. And we're going to talk a little Father's Day, too. Will you guys just come up in here and start talking? Mr. Crenshaw is trying to get Tyrone set, but... Where are the rings at? Where are the rings at? Where you been, man?
I had to run out for a minute to get the retrieve our guest.
All right, well, I was telling the audience about this fight last night, so let's just go back and see this. But first, let's do our introductions.
Okay. I'm here. In the studio with us, got two-time Super Bowl champion out of a wonderful Fort Valley State University. Tyrone Poole is here with us. Tyrone, welcome into our show. Weekend
hey,
morning.
Hey, Greg, Sam, it's an honor to be here always, man. And I always tell everybody, whenever I come on the radio station or have any opportunity to get any type of media play, Sam Crenshaw was the man that opened up the door for me. So just like a lot of coaches, that the older coaches open up doors for them in sports, well, in media relations, Sam opened it up for me.
No.
Well, yeah, all right, hang on. Before y'all do this love fest thing here, let's get back to the show. Right, you got me standing here just treading water for a second. And now look at the guns on Tyrone here.
Oh, he's been working out, but okay. There's a reason. There's
you
a
weren't in here a second ago.
Okay.
I was talking about just the opposite of that in last night's fight.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see the guy that won the heavyweight fight last night?
No, I didn't.
He is a heavyweight. I mean, yes. he's like 6'2", 268. Well, that's add a couple of biscuits and gravy.
I know, right?
And but the guy he beat is built like Adonis, but this guy, you know, looks like a
Ruiz Jr.
Yeah,
looks like he could save boxing. I'm gonna say it just right now. He looks like he could save boxing.
I don't think he's gonna save boxing.
I didn't say he's going to. I said he could. If he continues, to, and I'll tell you why. If he continues to show
at the drive-thru.
If he continues to show what he showed last night as far as that kind of speed for a big man, and you can't deny that, right?
Well, the speed of the punches.
Hang on a second. The speed of that and looking the way he does. I used this analogy earlier, Tyrone. I said one of the reasons why, you know, you had Tiger running everything in golf.
Uh-huh.
But on the other side of Tiger was one other person who brought folks to under the tent to watch golf,
uh-huh.
and that was John Daly.
Uh-huh.
And you watched him because you did. A, you didn't know what he was going to do next, uh-huh. but also he looked like the majority of us.
Uh-huh.
And the guy had won some majors,
uh-huh.
right? So he had the game,
yeah.
but he had a size that wasn't consistent with that particular sport.
Yeah,
and I'm saying to you, if this dude continues, he's going to bring people to watch boxing in a way that heretofore wasn't there. That's my thought. That's how I'm hanging my hat on that. I'm not saying he's going to because he gets in the ring with Wilder, and Wilder hits him in one of them, you know, wherever, that could be the end of it. But if he continues to show, he could bring people to the TV.
I don't believe so. Well, I mean, he makes it interesting.
That's what I gotta do.
And that's because he's built like you said, he's built like every man. But we like to think our athletes who take the time to work out and prepare themselves, and maybe it's, you know, Joshua looked like he was prepared physically. I just think emotionally, this guy was a substitute for who he was supposed to fight, and I think he probably just wasn't taking him seriously as he should have. And I think that's probably what happened to him last night.
Whatever. But yeah. We got a guy here. We got a big fat champ.
We do.
I say that with love.
They got a big fat champ. They got the lights on over on Ponce de Leon, probably in his honor this morning.
And you know what? Everything I just said, the same thing was said about George Foreman. When he won it the second time. Okay, won it the first. He was eating cheeseburgers on Letterman, and he went out there and he whooped Michael Moore and held on to the belt. And he looked like the majority of America. Looked like the majority of people, period. Okay? And that's why he – and then went and made a mint.
Oh, on a grill.
On a grill.
Yeah.
But we know that story was an accident.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Hulk Hogan didn't pick up the phone.
but that's all right. You know, he's the one that's cashing the checks. Tyrone Poole is with us in our special guest this hour here in the studio. And you've been doing something. We're going to get into some football talk with you. But you got something else that you want people to come and check out this week. Because we talked about what kind of shape you're in. And you've always kept yourself in great shape since your playing days.
It's embarrassing the way he looks over there.
All the way from the Grange.
Back in the day. Yeah.
It's in the water, as they would say.
It's something down there. What you got? You got something happening this week, right?
Yeah. This Wednesday, June 5th, I had an opportunity to, as you guys talk about athletes and people in general, that try to show the public that it doesn't matter what age or what stage you're at, you know, you can be in shape and go out and participate. So in shape and participate. Man, I'm turning into a rhymer this year.
Look at you.
But the American Ninja Warrior, I performed on that. I was a participant. The American Ninja Warrior Atlanta. So I went to the finals. I can't tell everybody what I did. You got to tune in. You know, they make you sign contracts and everything. Yeah, but I can't tell you.
I got an NDA. You can't say nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So June 5th is that. And also I have my father and son event, which is June 15th, you know, and that one is very special to me.
Okay. We're going to get into that, too, as we go along this hour. But tell about this thing about the American Ninja War. What made you want to do that, and what did you have to do? Like you said, already in shape, what did you have to do to get ready for that?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to the fans that are listening.
You
know what got me on
that
show?
What's that?
I don't think it was Tyrone Poole. And I heard you guys talking about a little bit of the Patriots and everything.
Yeah.
But whenever you're a champion,
absolutely.
People just want to be associated with champions.
Yeah, okay. That
makes sense. Because it's like they want to say, okay, you're a champion, and not saying anything negative about the performers that do Ninja Warrior every year. Because those guys, they don't look like it, but they are some phenomenal athletes. But anytime you have a comparison that you want to try pro athlete against, you know, like you said, Greg, the average person almost, they want it. So they gave me an opportunity.
Yeah. So how long did you have to get ready for it? How long did you have to prepare before it actually started?
Yeah, that's a good question. And like you stated earlier, Sam, I have always been into physical fitness.
He stays in shape.
Yeah.
He ain't had a cheeseburger or a pizza in a long time.
Now, I'm going to go back and share that with you. Now, bring that back up later on. I'm going to tell you about my diet. But I even remember growing up in LaGrange where they used to have the presidential fitness test. I don't even know.
In high school.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, they had to do all those things.
Exactly.
I don't think they make kids do that anymore. I don't think they do that in school.
Yeah. Well, they used to just give me mine.
And we can tell the difference. Just look at some of them, but that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, they should bring that back.
That's a whole other conversation. Exactly. But those are the things that keep them in shape and all of that. We don't talk about track because that's something that you did anyway, too, in addition to football.
Yeah, track. Actually, in high school, leading up from high school, I did wrestling. I wrestled. I ran track. Played football. I probably could have played baseball, but track and baseball went at the same time. Okay. But when I got to college, same thing, track and field. Did very successful in that. Went to the Division II Nationals in the 100, 200. People always want to know about your speed, so I tell them that. My fastest in the 100 was 10.2. My fastest 200 was a 20.8. So okay. I could pick them up and put them down.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So I couldn't run that fast on American Ninja Warrior course, but that one there is a lot of mind understanding the course.
That's the thing. Talk about the mental side of it. You know, as it's the same thing on a game day when you go out to play in the NFL or any sport, the mental preparation for it and how you got prepared.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about the American Ninja Warrior, you don't know what the course is going to be like.
I was just going to say, a different skill set.
Exactly.
You got to move things around and hold yourself here and swing around that way. This ain't just like running up and trying to hit Jerome Bettis.
I know, right? But it's a different beast mentally because what they do allow you to see what the course is going to look like hours before you run. Okay. But it's not like you can use days to prepare. So you have to be able to have mentally like a photogenic mind. You got to remember. They do show a person demonstrate, but you can't do the course. So to see, okay, do I grab it here? How do they swing? So a lot of it you have to just practice leading up to it, just like rolling dice. I don't know if this is going to be there, but I do know swinging is going to be there. I do know balance is going to be there. So that's basically how you prepare.
You know what it sounds like, Rick? Sounds like playing cornerback on Sunday afternoon. You sound like being a cornerback.
Exactly. You don't know what's going to happen.
You know what I mean?
Wet route.
Right. So in so many ways, you know, this is right up your alley. It's kind of lays out for you like that.
Yeah, it was fun. I tell you that much. It was fun.
You were still playing. What would you be doing on June 2nd? I mean, are you getting ready? Where's your head at right now? I know camp usually starts about a month from now, but where are you at right now? Later in your career, as opposed to the beginning of your career, because you know that. Training camps changed.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Sam and Greg talking to Tyrone Poole here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. While we got you in this whole training mode, talking about this and that and everything, Sam and I were talking about some of the things that we were going to ask you when we got you up here.
Yes.
And so, it's right now, professional athletes are at it year-round.
Yes.
That wasn't the case when you came into the league. How did that change?
I don't know, Greg. Don't try to put me
on. No,
all
I'm not saying you personally.
Now.
Not you personally. But overall, well, would you agree that overall, league-wide, when you came into the league, were all the players year-round focused on staying in football shape?
I'm going to disappoint you, but yes.
Okay. Well, we hear different things from the announcers. Yes. They talk about it.
See, here's the thing, though. See, I was the type of – now, you're talking about two different types of athletes. You got some athletes that build it into their contract. You got to work out. If you don't, then you're going to get fined. Those are the guys that really you see after they retire. You're like, hold on, man. You used to look like an Adonis. Now you look like you're making donuts, you know.
You look like our heavyweight champion.
And then you got those guys who you don't have to pay them. The Jerry Rices. They just love working out. So that when I was here, like you said, June 2nd, what would I be doing? Well, I would be here working out. There would be a number of guys, because it's like all kinds of athletes that stay here in Atlanta. And we would work out together. We have a trainer, a specialized trainer, and we tomorrow morning is when we would start. We would normally meet up around 9 a.m., and the workout would last for about an hour and a half. And then, boom, we go. So those are the guys that you look at their careers.
But the thing that has changed is now what we know as OTAs, which are now the organized at the
team. Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. That's the thing. You didn't have them organized as a team the way they have them structured.
Well, we had that too. We had OTAs. We had OTAs.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The other thing that was, and again, you came into the league in 95. And so I know because I've heard even throughout the 90s some of these guys talk about, yes, they were, maybe the majority of them were like you. Mm-hmm. But there were guys, it wasn't universally understood across the board that these guys – with the money that's involved in the NFL in 1995 compared to 2019,
mm-hmm.
it was different. The accessibility to watching players, getting that information, you know, social media, all that stuff wasn't around. They talk about the Cowboys winning even once. If social media was around during them Michael Irvin Cowboy days,
wow.
You know? So I guess, again, what I'm getting at is right now you talk about a group of guys. You were on the defensive side of the ball. You had some guys that you felt comfortable training with. All on the defensive side? Were they some offensive players?
Yeah, offensive guys, too.
Okay, so you mixed it up there?
Offensive guys,
okay.
Yes. We had, actually, I'll say his name. Lawrence Seagraves was my first trainer.
Okay.
Lawrence Seagraves, great track guy. Tony Bellani and all that. So there's a lot of good trainers.
I tell you what, we're gonna come back to that.
Put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that and pick up that, and we're going to talk some training camp and talk some Falcons as well. You up to that?
Yes, sir.
We're going to take on
Rise up.
We're going to take on all the quarterbacks in the NFC South when we come back. Tyrone Poole, man, got two Super Bowl rings from the Patriots. Fort Valley State Wildcat in the house. Sam and Greg, weekend mornings on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports
morning.
Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. The sun has been up for so long that I actually feel kind of awkward saying, good morning, Georgia.
Yeah, but it's not 8:30.
I know.
Some people up this morning moving around. If you headed to Sunday services, thanks for letting us ride
along
with you.
Yes, thank you very much.
You know,
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Let's get back on track here. And we have a guy from a city that we were talking about earlier, and I'm going to do this again. Because
he's not from that city.
He played in that city.
From LaGrange, Georgia. Yeah, now. I'm a native of Georgia.
Yeah, but you worked in that city.
The folks down in LaGrange, I wonder what you're talking about.
Boy, you got a real good special dispensation because I was like to just load you in with the rest of them up there. You know? Listen, I bring this up because Boston, it looks like they're about to have another parade. Stanley Cup is going. Last night, it was like, it wasn't a hockey game score. It was a baseball score.
Yeah, yeah.
With the Bruins taking it to St. Louis. They got a 2-1 lead, but they just look like they're ready to take Lord Stanley's Cup this year.
Which means?
Another parade in Boston.
What's up with the Boston parades?
And the thing about it is, they were kind of thrown under the bus and reminded what kind of folks are up there. Because, and I don't want to put you into this, Tyrone, because I'm going to get to this list here. But Bill Buckner's passing past week.
Baseball, yes.
And how he was treated in that city. And Boston, after the fact, realized what they had done to him and his family. And they had him back and throw out a first pitch. And there was a nice moment for him this past week when he passed. But while that was going on, for those of us who watched baseball, that one play in the 86 World Series shouldn't, but did.
It did.
In that city.
Yes.
And that was wrong. And you know, it just drove the rest. And plus, for a guy who loves a team that he played on.
Yes.
Which is a Bill Buckner's career is one of those where you got to go, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Or, man, he was this. Anyway, so if the Bruins go ahead and win this Stanley Cup, they will be the 12th. Parade since 2001.
Wow.
The 12th since 2001.
This is a lot of championships.
Okay, so I'm going to run this down for those of you just joining us and didn't hear this earlier, and they ranked them. So here's what number – we're going to start with number 11, the 07 Red Sox. By the way, if you hear a team that you recognize or might have played on, say something, would you?
Gotcha.
Number 10, the 03 Patriots.
All right, right there. Good one. Best defense. I think we had the best secondary, best defense in Belichick history.
Really?
You got a memory from that game? That Super Bowl?
Well, actually, I remember a game we played against the Indianapolis Colts. Peyton Manning, just talking about it the other day. Peyton throws the interception. Ty Law catches the interception. And Marvin Harrison is the receiver Peyton's trying to throw the ball to. And Marvin goes out of bounds right beside Belichick. This is how he's in the game. And Belichick kind of gets in his way so that he can't get back on the field, so to speak.
Did he really?
But
Mike Tomlin? Yeah. Mike Tomlin
Mike Tomlin did it. He tried to kick the guy on the field, but when you're on the sideline, I'm like, that's out of the play.
Right.
So, you know, it's just a great, you know, thinking on the play. See, but, great team.
Folks cheating every chance they get.
I'm telling you, man.
The 2004 Patriots. 2014, excuse me.
2014.
That was number 9. Number 8, the 04 Patriots.
04 Patriots, back-to-back. Man, it's always tough to win twice because they know you coming. But
give me
we did it anyway.
Give me a story from that Super Bowl.
That Super Bowl, well, everybody knows T.O. Coming back from the injury. But, again, Tom Brady, it's just a great team. Rodney Harrison, I think myself and Ty and Randall Gay and Asante Samuel, who ended up playing here in Atlanta. Again, great players in great position, making plays. Deion Branch, great team.
Can I take just a little sidebar here, Sam, for a minute? Just because he mentioned his name. You're a defensive back. What was T.O. like? Tell us something about him that you don't think we knew about him as a player.
You know what? I had an opportunity back in 98. We did a calendar shoot. Me and T.O. and some other guys from the NFL. It was called The Best Bodies in the NFL. So
yeah, I really wasn't going for that. I wasn't going for that.
That ain't what we're looking for.
Okay. I'm going somewhere with this. But I had an opportunity. I had an opportunity to sit and talk to T.O. And, you know, he was with the 49ers, so we played against one another. I was with the Carolina Panthers. But T.O., all these guys are nice guys, man. It's just, you know, you get into the NFL, that limelight, something else takes over, but he's a down-to-earth guy.
Why didn't Philadelphia, with all that talent during those years, get across the finish line, do you think?
You know what? I think it comes down to AQ. I call it AQ. You got IQ, EQ, intelligence, emotional quotient, AQ, adjustability. A lot of teams can't make those adjustments when it's necessary.
Wow, that is so Andy Reid. Ain't it, though?
Yeah.
That is so Andy Reid that you said that.
Yep.
That's the issue with him from Philadelphia fans on, and this is my eyeballs watching him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, listen, five NFC championships, you'd figure they'd got one with Donovan McNabb. All right, number seven, coming from New England or Boston Parades, the 2011 Bruins. Number six, the 2016 Patriots. You went on that team.
Ah, man, yeah. I almost had perfection.
Yeah, let's get Rodney Harrison on the phone and see what he thinks about that. Number five, the 2013 Red Sox. Number four, the 2018 Red Sox. Wow. Number three, the 08 Celtics.
Oh, man.
Docking them boys. Yeah. The number two is the 2001 Patriots.
Now, you know I got to talk about everything dealing with the Patriots, but that's the springboard. That's a springboard. You know, if Drew Bledsoe hadn't gotten hurt, you know, Mo Lewis. You know, Mo Lewis, I ask him all the time, Mo, do people say, we're so glad you put that hit on Drew Bledsoe. Mo, like, I don't think about that, man. You know, that was the ushering in of Tom Brady, and as they say, the rest is history.
Well, there's also the ushering in, if you believe a lot of people, the system, too, that Bill Belichick put in, because Brady is one thing, and I'm not going to sit here and get into this, does he deserve all the accolades he's gotten and so on and so forth, but we saw that system excel without Brady, just like we saw it with other coaches that had all-time great quarterbacks. Once that quarterback was gone, the system still excelled.
Well, see, here's where I disagree. I understand everything has a system, but like I just named, IQ, EQ, and AQ, every system, the Falcons got a system. IBM or Microsoft or Home Depot, they all got a system. But the Home Depot in Texas may not be bringing in as much cash flow as the Home Depot in Atlanta. And it all comes down, I think, to the people who are pressing the buttons, right, making the decisions. And, again, it comes down to adjustability, making the right adjustment. If you don't have enough customers coming in the Home Depot, we got to make an adjustment somewhere. We can't continue to do the same thing. So that's where I think it comes down to. The system is only as effective as the adjustments that are made.
And the last one was the first Red Sox in 04. They got that listed as number one. Mm-hmm. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you just joined us, Tyrone Poole joining us here with his multiple Super Bowl rings. Sam and Greg here. So we're going to tap into his knowledge, send him around the Falcons division.
Well, yeah. Around the division. And yes. I mean, we would think about the quarterbacks in this division. We got some outstanding quarterbacks who've established themselves, one in New Orleans, you know, the one up in as an MVP, made it to the Super Bowl up in Carolina. We know what Matt has done here also. And the one down in Tampa is still a question. Talented as can be, we just don't know which one we're going to get when the door and the bus opens. So I go around the league and tell us, as a cornerback on that side, if you come breaking the huddle and you're facing, first of all, Drew Brees, you know, how do you deal with him and the things he likes to do?
Well, here's the thing with Drew and Sean Payton. You want to talk about a system. Sean Payton teaches Drew Brees, when he hit that back foot, hits the ground, that ball is coming out. So what I would study and on defense, we would basically say we have to be in position. You can't give the Saints, you can't give Drew Brees an inch. You can't get a receiver even look like he's open because that's where Drew is going to go. But you've seen that if you get Drew off his pattern, then that system, as Greg said, starts to have problems. So it's about making the right adjustment. But I love Drew. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks. He's in my top three.
Yeah. Talk about the guy up in Carolina. Talk about Cam. And I mean, we've seen him do a lot of some things. We've seen him have some struggles. Some people think he shouldn't run as much as he does. I know somebody was a corner. You probably don't want to see him doing any running.
hit him low.
but thoughts about him and what he can do when he's at his best.
Yeah.
And how you face him.
Yeah. No, when Cam is at his best, he's unstoppable. But the thing with Cam is it's not his arm strength. I think it's his touch. And sometimes that throwing out that back leg does allow his balls to sail over the receiver. So the finesseness, which all comes back with just technique, you know, throwing out that proper leg, not the back leg, because if you throw out the back leg, your shoulders are too high. And you can overthrow the receiver, which could lead into overthrow or interception. But Cam is a threat. You know, he's a threat to run the ball. He's a threat to throw the ball. He brings excitement to the team. And so the thing with Cam, I would say, hey, you know what? Get him out of the pocket. Make him have to throw the ball from the pocket, so to speak, because you know he's going to use bad technique. But also try to get into his head because he is the energy of that team. You know, he does the Superman thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can get him off of that, from doing that, you kind of, you know, get into his game.
Can I just follow up on that? Because is Cam Newton, because I was trying to think of somebody his size, if not bigger. Roethlisberger doesn't run like Cam.
No, nobody
runs like Cam at his size. And is that the detriment to him at that position? Because we have seen him not get calls that other quarterbacks have gotten when they got hit because he's the size of a running back.
Yeah.
If you're his offensive coordinator, wouldn't you years ago have told him, listen, this is the price of doing business for you being this size and the speed. We got to pull this back, as Sam just alluded to. They're trying to get him, but instinct is instinct. Once you're out there and the play is going, you know, you just sort of revert back to what you know, right?
And you know what? That's a great point you make, Greg, and I'm actually going to go back even farther. I think sometimes if you look at it in high school, they put the best athlete at quarterback. And they just tell him, hey, run. If it's not there, take off and run. So like you said, Greg, that instinct started. So I fought his high school coach. I'm going to go all the way back to his high school coach. You know, he's the one that instituted that put that in Cam's head.
Coach Dallas Austin, he might be listening this morning, but go ahead.
well, I'm pretty sure he's probably saying, you know, hey, we told him to run. But, you know, so he goes into college, you know, and now he's running and he's nervous. So we're going to revert back. It's like that flight or fight syndrome. You're going to go back to what you know. But I think as he's getting older, kind of like with Vic, you know, Andy Reid. Now, I personally think, you know, I still respect Michael Vick. You know, when he got to Philadelphia, Andy Reid tried to work with him. But I think Andy got him too late.
Yeah.
And if Andy had gotten Mike when he first came out, oh, man, Mike would have been like a Steve Young.
Yeah.
He'd have been like a Steve Young, no doubt in my mind. But when you have done something repetitively, it's hard to get rid of. It's like playing golf. If you've been swinging in a certain way, like with Michael Johnson, track runner, you know, the 200, they were like, he run like a salamander, you know. But, man, you know what?
Man,
don't break it.
He gets, getting hit, like they say, everybody's got a plan until they get hit.
Yes.
And you're right, but enough hits, and some have knocked him out for a while. Adjust your game, man. We talked about adjustments earlier throughout this.
Yeah.
And I understand instinct is there, but there's things you don't do as a pro that you used to do in college or used to in high school because you know that it's not helping, if you will. It's not helping me. It's not helping my team. I'm just fascinated at the fact that this guy, given his size, did learn that of all the people that are out there playing that position that run – he should not be one of them because he's not your average quarterback. He's a running back playing that position. Listen, we only got a few minutes left here. Want to get your thoughts on Jameis Winston?
Jameis Winston and Matt Ryan and what the Falcons need. So we're going to get that and stick a pin in it. We're going to come back. We're going to take one more break and come back and do more. We got Tyrone Poole in studio, in the Kia Studios with us on this game day.
All swolled up.
Yeah, he is.
All swolled up, making us
working
look bad.
Thing.
Sports Radio, 929 The Game at 929TheGame.com.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, we are talking football.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Morning.
Yeah, morning. We got Tyrone Poole in the Q Studios.
Morning. Hang on, man. I was trying to say that. It's a beautiful morning.
It is. It is a beautiful morning.
You in a hurry. You out the blocks quick. No, now we got to back up and start again and all that.
Come on.
We do have a special guest in here.
Blow the whistle.
Yeah, blow the whistle. Anyway, go ahead. You were introducing our special guest.
No, you can follow him on Twitter at the Tyrone Poole 38, at Tyrone Poole 38, here in the Kia Studios with us. We were talking about the quarterbacks around the NFC South.
Yes.
We had talked about Charlotte. We talked about New Orleans. Talk about Tampa now. He's the big question mark to me, Jameis Winston. When the door opens on the bus, we don't know which one gets off. How do you deal with this guy? He's got to really, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
But you know the talent that he has. How do you prepare for him? If you're a cornerback, you break in the huddle, and this guy's on the other side.
Well, like you said, I think the one thing with Jameson, he has the talent. That's why he's playing in the NFL. But I think it's the mental, you know. You get certain plays where he looks like a quarterback, and then you follow up with some plays like, what did you just do? So with him, I would say, you know, if he can keep his head clean. And if I'm a defensive player, I'm like, let's get into his head. So his head thing is my situation with him.
My question is, and remove yourself from the player and put yourself on the coaching staff. But this is year what? Four? Five?
Five.
How long do we wait for those, what happens between his years to straighten up and those knucklehead plays not to happen on and off the field? Yeah. How long do you wait as the leader of this team?
Well, here's the thing. I think, like you said, there's a time limit in the NFL. But I think if you truly, truly, with the way they pay guys, I understand that, hey, we got to make it happen now. But if a guy has talent, you know, it's almost like a relationship. If you know that there's potential there, you know, I think you kind of bear it a little bit longer. So I think the reason why they're bearing a little bit longer, because they understand that if we could just get him to – it's only a few things that keeping him from being where he needs to be. So I think sometimes that, you know – keeps it around.
Yeah.
It just seems like the ego of a lot of coaches, doesn't it? I'm the one who can fix him.
Yeah.
We see it from players all the time. Yeah. Player has a problem in this city. A coach comes in, I can fix him. And then it doesn't happen. You know, this guy moves on to another city.
He needs another player to come in. Really, somebody to really – because some guys, you can get paid so much, you can't tell them what to do unless it's somebody who make more than them or got more respect than that person. So.
Yeah, that might be what they're lacking in the locker room down there. All right, let's talk about our fellas here, the Atlanta Falcons and Matt Ryan. You know, we know what he's done. We know what he's capable of doing. We've seen him at his best. We've seen him struggle. The team did some things to give him some help as far as offensive line. Thoughts about Matt and, you know, when you face him, break the huddle, some things that you see that you're going to want to check on your list.
Yeah. See, here's the thing with Matt. Matt is a consistent quarterback. Regardless of what people want to say about him, Matt is consistent. You look at his numbers last year and look at his numbers even in 2012 when he had the great year under Dirk Cutter, who is back this year. So the guy's consistent. Like you say, I don't care who you are, you can't be productive picking yourself up off the ground. You know, I don't care who you are. You don't like to get hit. Just like Greg was alluding to earlier, you need to slide. You don't need to run. Still, like you say, you don't want to get hit. So, but Matt is a great quarterback. If I think of playing against him, his arm strength is always a question. So you want to try to make him throw that deep ball because you know he's not going to be a lot of zip on it. But I like Matt.
When you see a Devontae Freeman back and got all his moves and all that sort of stuff from a defensive back, what does that do to you? Is that the equivalent of having a mobile quarterback when you got that special kind of running back there? Ezekiel in Dallas, you got Devontae. When he's healthy, he breaks ankles.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering from a defensive back, you're keeping your eye on certain things, but those special players, those skill positions on those certain teams, those guys, and he's one of them, that makes you sort of keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah. Yeah. With guys like that, what they normally tell the defense, and I go back in the day talking about Barry Sanders, they would say, you got to stay in your gap. Stay in your gap. If he's running to the right, stay in your gap because he's going to come back to you. So you have a Devontae Freeman, somebody like that. Defensively, we got to stay in our gap. If you got the A gap, stay in the A gap. If you got the B gap, stay there and make the play. So that's how you stop guys like that, working as a team.
Yeah. We talked about that, and back that he's back healthy. We talked about the offensive line, and, you know, the Falcons have made some moves to bolster that. What else does this team need now to get back in – and contend with New Orleans in the South and hopefully get back to another Super Bowl run. The clock is ticking for some players on this team.
It is ticking. Tick, 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 tick. I think the Falcons do have an opportunity this year. I think they have all the pieces in place. They're still one of the most talented teams in the NFL when you look at it. And again, like we alluded to, adjustability. They can make a few adjustments here and there during game situations and keep Matt off the ground. Looking at some of the stats last night and just, you know, keeping up with the Falcons and all of sports. If you look at the number of teams that that went to the playoffs, all eight, they ran the ball more than the Falcons. You know, they ran the ball almost 100 times. You know, you look at the Baltimore Ravens, they ran the ball almost 500-something times. You look at the Falcons, I think they were like 300-something. So that tells me that they are being put in situations where they got to throw the ball more.
Yeah.
So that's why you see Matt getting knocked down. But at the same time, if you can give Matt that opportunity to mix it up, run, pass, then I think the Falcons go back to the Super Bowl. They're not missing those many pieces.
Hey, both of you guys, he brought up Baltimore Ravens. You guys hear the news about them going to dial back the amount of running Lamar Jackson does? Does that take away from his specialness?
I don't think so.
I'm just curious, you know, because there's a happy medium between Michael Vick and, you know, RG3, you know, who got knocked out of this, you know, league for the most part. But, you know, he's still playing, but I don't know. He needs to put on some weight. That'd be the first thing I'd work on. Well, he needs to put on some weight.
Put on some weight, but what do you lose if he puts on the weight?
Well, that's the whole thing. But at least he's protecting himself. Because that was the thing with RG3. Michael Vick was kind of put together. RG3 was just like, he was just skinny.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When we talk about all that, and we got a quarterback who was the first player picked in the draft who had to choose over baseball and Kyler Murray. His size, a big difference? I'm asking you.
You know what? I think I honestly see him like a Doug Flutie. If I'm playing against him, a defensive coordinator, I am going to tell my ends to contain, and we're going to push the pocket. We're going to make him have to see over those tall offensive linemen.
I got news for you guys. The two top quarterbacks in the league right now are of that height, and they're getting it done. You brought up one in Drew Brees, and the other one's in Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes. So
not just that, but also in Seattle.
Okay, and that height, you know, that may be the way to go, and that may be the move. We talk about a copycat league, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that may be what they're going for. But I don't know if Kyler Murray's size is going to have anything to do with his success or lack thereof, because we've seen it done. All we heard before the draft was, you know, this is what Russell Wilson did. If he does this, he'll be okay. Russell Wilson also was going to play baseball. So there was that connection. I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing what this dude does. My question is that coach who they brought in, Kingsbury, who got fired a minute before he got that job.
Yeah,
you know, what's he going to do with this Porsche of a quarterback? That's what you got to worry about.
I think Kyler Murray is going to be just as good as Kingsbury. And actually, funny thing, I played with Cliff.
Really?
Yeah, he was with the Patriots when I was there as well. So, yeah.
Did you get a shot on?
Don't know that much about him. You know, back then he was running the scout plays.
Okay.
But yes, I remember Cliff.
Wow. Well, now he's got a chance out in Arizona. We'll see what happens. The Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks usually vanish, with the exception of Cam Newton. One of the reasons, because they go on teams that ain't that good. So we'll see. We'll see if Kyler Murray.
You know, we haven't asked him, Sam, is what he thought of the last Super Bowl and that ex team of his getting it done with the score that they had.
Yeah, that was so ugly.
What did you think of that? The score of that Super Bowl and New England still finding a way. These dudes fall down a sewer and come up with two gold watches. I don't know how they do that, man. They just couldn't have played worse and yet still come up. What were your thoughts when you watched that?
Well, again, I'll tell people from day in, day out, what I've learned from that organization is adjustability and confidence. The reason why successful companies, teams win is because the same information that is repeated at the top is like linen. You put oil on the top of linen and you test it at the bottom, it's going to be the same. So with that organization, you walk in those doors, whatever they're saying at the top, you're going to hear it at the bottom. And I heard there's a company called Nike. They do the same thing. When you go into that company, they don't talk about themselves. They talk about the philosophy of Nike. And that's what you have in the Patriots. They patience, preparation, and you know what? We're going to get it done.
Does the coach stay after the quarterback retires, or do they go out together?
You know what? I think it'll be I think Belichick can stay if – he finds a replacement for Tom. I think Tom can go and the Patriots can still be successful. because I know, you know, Belichick is, you know, he's the transmission, you know. He's the one that puts that thing in gear. If Belichick goes and Tom stays, I think now you're running a team without, you know, the main piece, which is Belichick. He makes the adjustments. So, yeah. But I hope they go out together. That would be the most logical thing.
Yeah, like next Tuesday. That is Tyrone Poole over here. The man's got a few rings thanks to the Super Bowl. Me and Sam, we're here every weekend. Yeah. We're going to give you a shot at some jobs up next. It is Casting Call. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.